Couple, CEO of Portfolio Plus, and I'd like to welcome everyone to today's podcast episode. In our podcast series, we chat with individuals leading innovation in the Canadian financial services space by focusing on sharing journeys, thoughts, approaches, and learnings. Our community of banks, credit unions, challenger banks, fintechs, and other financial service providers in Canada is one that experiences continuous digital, technological, and regulatory change. Portfolio Plus recently published a case study with Fairstone Bank of Canada and their success by using our GIC, or term deposit solution, to raise funds by offering deposits. This solution and the ease with which deposit orders are accepted and confirmed empowered them to grow their product offering. Pat Casullo, a senior sales account manager at Portfolio Plus, recently had the opportunity to speak with Graham Castleman from Fairstone Bank. Today's episode expands on the case study and dives deeper into some of the topics. I'm excited that we were able to capture and share this discussion with you today. And with that, I'm going to hand it over to Pat and Graham.
Hello, my name is Pat Casullo, and I'm a senior sales account manager at Portfolio Plus. And I'd like to welcome everyone to today's podcast. Today's episode continues our discussions around term deposits, and we're excited to be joined by Graham Castleman of Fairstone Bank of Canada. Fairstone Bank of Canada and its subsidiary, Fairstone Financial Inc., form a leading Canadian consumer lending group offering a wide range of lending products online and at their 240 branches coast to coast. We recently published a case study about our relationship with Fairstone Bank and their astounding success and growth using our term deposit management solution. Now, I've given a brief overview about Fairstone Bank, but the audience would love to hear more about you, Graham, and your background in the financial industry. And also, over the years, your organization has changed names and rebranded a few times. So it would be nice to hear about the history of how you became Fairstone Bank of Canada.
Thanks, Pat. Yes, I myself have been in the financial services industry for about 20 years at various institutions, a few of them leading Canadian financial institutions, and in various roles, some of which have involved raising cash to fund our business, which is what my role is now at Fairstone Bank. About Fairstone Bank, many not know, but they were originally, or when I started, they were originally Walmart Bank. Or I had started just after Walmart had sold Walmart Bank to some private investors and renamed them Dual Bank. Walmart had established a bank in-house to finance its MasterCard business. And when they sold the bank to become Dual Bank, they still maintain that mandate. But as Dual Bank being independent, they wanted to kind of branch out into other areas of the banking business. And of course, to do that, they needed to raise funds. And being a bank, they were able to issue deposits. Shortly after becoming Dual Bank, they actually acquired, as you mentioned, acquired Fairstone Financial. This was announced early 2020. And once it passed a few regulatory hurdles, it rebranded itself as Fairstone Bank of Canada, which now includes both entities. The former Dual Bank, which, as I said, was in the business of financing Walmart's MasterCard, and Fairstone Financial's primary business was consumer lending. So that's where we are today.
Perfect. Thanks, Graham. Thanks for that that history. And Fairstone Bank of Canada has been a valued client and partner of Portfolio Plus for several years now. Would you mind sharing with our audience Fairstone Bank of Canada's business strategy that Portfolio Plus was able to collaborate with you on?
When we had become Dual Bank, became independent of Walmart, we needed to find some other sources of funding. So there were a few, and one, of course, which was going to be deposits, given that we were a bank and able to take deposits. In the deposit potential areas of the deposit business we looked at, the one that made the most sense to us was the broker deposit business for a few reasons. One of them, of course, being the very low overhead costs involved, and another being that it gave us the ability to raise a lot of funds in a short period of time. And it also gave us the ability to exit the business if needed. When we decided to go that route, we selected Portfolio Plus as our vendor for term deposits for a number of reasons. Portfolio Plus was very experienced in the industry, as well as they were well integrated with the Canex system, which is the financial intermediary system that we use, as well as Portfolio Plus was very up to speed on a lot of the CDIC requirements, which is very helpful to us. And of course, we have to adhere to those. And the requirements are changing all the time with respect to data and operational issues and matters like that.
Perfect. Thanks, Greg. And now that you've been involved in the term deposit business for number of years now. Can you share or tell us about the amazing growth that Fairstone Bank of Canada has experienced using the term deposit solution? Perhaps maybe starting from your early days entering the market to where you are at current state today?
Absolutely. When we entered the broker deposit business, so this would have been in September of 2019, we got off to a very good start. We onboarded our first broker then and onboarded another one shortly thereafter. And by the end of 2019, we actually had raised a few hundred million dollars in assets. And we started off 2020 strong as well, but then things kind of tapered a little bit when COVID hit, just because our need for funds kind of waned, as a lot of other institutions did as well. Really didn't really significantly pick things up, I would say, till about a year ago, when kind of the economic effects of COVID had passed and we had a now need to raise more funds. So we've been going very strong for, I would say, the last year, to the point now where we've got well over $2 billion in deposits. And we, of course, have plans to continue to grow that business.
Wow, that definitely is some amazing growth, given it's, I think you said about 3 years, 3.5 years?
Yeah, about 3.5 years.
Wow, amazing. And then in terms of just impacts, like, are you able to share some of those positive impacts that you've seen internally to the overall operations, managing the portfolio, any efficiencies you're experiencing as that portfolio continues to grow?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's hard to really compare to anything because we did kind of start this business from scratch. But I can say the kind of the duties, at least of the front office, to raise the deposits are kind of shared amongst a few people. But if you kind of combined everyone's efforts, I would say it doesn't even reach one FTE. So there's certainly a lot of efficiencies being in this business. And, given the amount of money we're able to raise in the time we're able to raise it and the staff that's required to manage it. So, certainly it is in that respect very efficient, and certainly the Portfolio Plus module meets all our needs in that respect, so we're able to run things on a very, very low budget. And as we've grown, of course, as our deposit base has grown, our administrative matters and overhead costs haven't. So yeah, as we continue to grow, the efficiencies will only increase.
Oh, perfect. Thanks, Graham. What advice would you like to provide the listeners based on your own experience if they're considering pursuing the nominee deposit through that broker channel? Anything that you can share for those listeners based on, again, your experience?
I think the key thing is to develop, the appropriate business partners early on, your vendor, Portfolio Plus, as well as establish relationships with, not only CanEx and CDIC, but also, and probably most importantly, with the brokers, because ultimately, if you are entering that business, they're the ones who are selling your deposits. And, the more broker boards you can get on, the, more cash you'll be able to raise in a given amount of time. So certainly that's very key. And, selling yourself to the brokers, you certainly have to make the case that you have these efficiencies and you are able to serve the brokers well, because when their clients hold your deposits, I mean, there are some servicing requirements and there is an expectation on the broker's part you'll be able to deliver, in an efficient manner, to meet their clients' needs. So certainly I would say I would establish those relationships well before your actually targeted go live date. Absolutely.
Yeah, perfect. So what I'm hearing is one of the key things there is to build those relationships with those brokers, have that strong relationship. So again, that they're going to be funneling that business into your institution.
For sure.
Perfect. So based on the sort of current economic sort of state, we've definitely seen the popularity of term deposits skyrocket. Obviously fueled by the higher interest rates. Mm-hmm. Do you see this trend continuing? And why do you think term deposits are such a popular investment right now?
Well, a couple of reasons. I think, of course, safety is one of them. And as you mentioned, the higher rates has lured people into the deposit business. I would say we really didn't see a big uptick in the business until a little after the start of COVID, maybe even not until early 2022. 2022 was a real bang year for the deposit business. It has declined maybe a little bit this year, but still very strong compared to pre-2022. So I would certainly see it staying at that levels or maybe growing slightly in the near future, just given things like demographics and given some uncertainties in the overall economy right now. If the economy does slow down, which, many economists are predicting, and that's usually good for the deposit businesses as investors look for safety and you know, a lot of investors, of course, do their investing through brokers who, you know, offer the broker deposits. So I would certainly say there's certainly opportunity for growth in the near and medium term. Beyond that, it's really hard to say. You know, a lot of kind of external factors will influence that. Of course, the economy and, you know, what happens with rates in a few years from now, who knows? So when rates are lower, it seems people, as you would expect, lock in for less time. And that's usually maybe better for, you know, short-term investments like savings accounts. And it's when the rates are higher that you see more flight to the term deposits. So I would say going forward in a few years from now would be a little hard to predict, but certainly in the near term, I would say it's a good business to be in, and it's a good way to, you know, for institutions to raise needed funds and in a efficient and way and in a short period of time.
For sure. So is it fair to say that in the foreseeable future, you still see term deposits being a portion, percentage-wise, of investors' total portfolio?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's you know, a very secure investment, particularly if you're within your insurance coverage limits. And, you know, it's certainly something that most investors understand well. So, yeah, I would certainly say as a fixed income investment, it would continue to be very popular among investors. You know, there's always going to be a demand for it. Just some of the big upticks you've seen it in certain times. I mean, that's a little bit variable, but overall, I absolutely would see term deposits being in high demand. Is another reason, as I mentioned, that the demographics is you've got a lot of people who are retirement age now who are generally looking to put their money in more safe vehicles, and certainly term deposits, if they're, you know, within their coverage limits, are an obvious choice for a lot of people.
So do you see any opportunities for innovation in the term deposit space for organizations of, you know, large, mid, small size?
There certainly has been a lot of innovations over the last couple of years. CDIC had brought in some new data requirements, which required, you know, systems upgrades, and some innovations came out of that. Certainly there is some room for more. I know, for example, you know, a lot of clients may transfer their GIC from one broker to another. That's still a very, very manual process. You know, and as your book grows, the, you know, number of requests for that are only going to grow as well. I know I was at a conference last year and they were looking at developing such an industry-wide system to accommodate that. But certainly if they could do that, that would certainly eliminate one of the very, very manual processes that still exists. But certainly in the time that we've been in the last 3.5 years, certainly we've come a long way in seeing you know, some of the processes go from being highly manual to being almost completely automated.
Perfect. That's great, Graham. And just one final question to wrap up the podcast. Graham, are there any final insights or best practices you'd like to share with the listeners today?
You know, a few things. As I kind of mentioned before, you know, once your relationship with the brokers is established, it's very important to maintain that strong relationship so that you'll continue to get their business, or they'll continue to drive business your way. You know, another thing, of course, I would say is make sure that you're really up to date on a lot of the systems requirements, because that's really a key aspect of this business, given, you know, how much of it is automated compared to, say, a regular deposit, like non-broker deposit business. So, you know, I would say keeping, you know, state-of-the-art technology is certainly a best practice as well. And I think another thing is just staying abreast of all that's happening in the industry. Doesn't seem like too much had happened until maybe a few years ago, but if, you know, in the last few years, a lot has changed, and I think there's certainly going to be more changes in the near future. So I think being ahead of the curve there is key for anyone who wants to be in this business and use this business as a major funding source.
That's great. Thanks again, Graham, for joining us today. Certainly learned a lot, and it was a pleasure speaking with you today. Thank you for your time.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure.
That was a wonderful conversation, building upon the information shared in the case study. I really appreciate Pat and Graham for taking the time out of their busy schedules to share their thoughts with our listeners. If you'd like to learn more about the Fairstone Bank of Canada story and haven't already read the case study, please check it out on our website at portfolioplus.com. For more information on how you can implement a GIC solution in your organization, please reach out to Portfolio Plus through our website. I hope you enjoyed our podcast today and appreciate you spending your time with us. If you'd like to learn more about Portfolio Plus or have any feedback, you can reach us through our website or follow us on LinkedIn or Twitter at Portfolio Plus 19. You can subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts or through our YouTube channel. Until next time, all the best.